It blessed me when I heard the sister say, I realize I'm doing too much. It's that kind of result that I'm looking for. It's not necessarily you understanding all this and getting all this, because there's a lot of information. But what tweak can you make? What adjustment can you make? What can you, sister got that point. That's a great leadership point, that goal setting should be a collaborative effort. It shouldn't be just you setting up goals and then hand it to folk and they run with it. And when you do that, they don't have ownership. And that's why sometimes they don't feel motivated. And then a lot of times you end up missing out on things that people at a ground roots level can see that you can't see. So you up there planning your little thing, and people at a ground roots level can see we need to do this and improve this, but they don't have any say-so in the setting of the goals. So you end up operating just out of what you get. So that's great. I can go and get a benediction right now, because... Good. We're going to change gears a little bit. And so I want you to see where I'm going. I want you to see where I'm going with this, okay? Turn to page 3. And we're just going to glance at it. What we're going to talk about now is leadership as it relates to your personality, my personality. And how our personalities impact our leadership style, our leadership behavior, our decision making. And so this part is designed to help you to get to know you and you understand you. So it's just some definitions of personality on that sheet. So turn to the next sheet on page 4. On page 4, see where it says personality element? See that? Come on, say amen. Yeah, I see it, something. Okay. I'm going to read that, but I'm not going to spend much time because that's just the introduction to it. Then after I read it, then I'm going to take a biblical illustration and try to give you some points out of that. And then once we give you the biblical illustration, the next page, we're going to look at this chart. See that? Okay. Then the next portion, not this session, because this session lasts around 30 minutes. The next session, we're going to talk about personality traits. And that's where you probably have already done an assessment. We're just going to glance at that, and then I think they got an exercise, okay? So that's where we're going. You see where we're going? Okay, now, so let's look at page 4. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go to the Bible. Personality elements. Number one, behind everyone is a highly complex and constantly changing mix of personality elements that make up you. You. These elements play an important role in helping to define the person you are and also your resulting leadership style, because who you are impacts your leadership style. 3, only when you start to explore and understand these underlying elements of personality that drive the things you do, can you then be true to yourself, become a natural, genuine leader. 4, when considering your personality, now look at 4 carefully, it is important to recognize that some elements of you are relatively adaptable. Now, this is abstract stuff. I'm going to make it concrete for you, but this is abstract stuff. Relatively adaptable, as such, can be developed relatively quickly and easily. Other aspects of your personality, however, such as your traits or predisposition. And when it talks about traits, predisposition, it's talking about genetically determined characteristics. These are things that you brought with you in the world, things that you were born with, things that you basically operated as a kid. Some of these things are enduring. Relatively enduring nature of these elements mean you must learn to work with, adapt them, rather than trying to change dramatically who you are. The key to understanding how to harness the power of personality differences for success, and that's the key is understanding who you naturally, the person you naturally is, and then making some adjustments, because there are times when you need to, see, we said, that's just who I am. Well, sometimes just who you are is getting in the way. So we've got to learn, in some cases, to make adjustments. So personality, say personality.
Personality.
Question. Here's the debate. Is it an issue of nature or nurture? Is it an issue of nature or nurture? Is it an issue of nature, in other words, your genetic code? Or is personality an issue of nurture, how you were brought up, the experiences you encountered, the things you learned growing up? So is it an issue of nature or nurture? Both. It's an issue of both. I want to show you a Bible story that we're familiar with, and I'm going to try to work through it pretty quick. If you don't have your Bibles, all right, I'm going to turn to Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to quickly try to work through the Apostle Paul, look at Barnabas, and then end up looking at this clash that they had in Acts 15. But I want to quickly try to do a study of the Apostle Paul, because in ministry or in leadership, we have to team with people. And what God has called us to is team leadership. And since we have different personalities, sometimes these personalities clash. So we need to know who we are, and then we need to be able to understand the unique personalities of our teammates, because they are not us. Okay? So we all have to start making some adjustments. Okay. Acts chapter 8, verse 3. This is before salvation, before Paul got saved. Verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now turn Acts chapter 9. Paul was a very, we got it up on the thing, good. Paul was an aggressive person. He had an aggressive personality. He had a very forceful personality. He was very strong-willed. And this is before salvation, so that means even as a kid, he probably was doing some of this stuff. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. When you talk about breathing threats, he's got a very aggressive kind of personality. He's very focused. He has a directive type personality. He's into getting something done. He's an achiever. He's got to stamp out this Christianity. So he's forceful. I got to stamp this stuff out. Well, you know the rest of the story now. The rest of the story was that he got thrown off his horse, and Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? And then he says, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. Prick is a sharp, pointed thing used to move animals. Sometimes they sit on their tail. You want to get them to move. You hit them with a prick, and some animals would kick back, and you had to keep pricking them, which tells us that the Apostle Paul was under conviction from the Spirit of the Lord, but over a period of time, he was resisting. He had a very strong personality. Watch this. Even when it comes to God. Even when it comes to God. Now, I want you to look at chapter 20. This is after salvation. After salvation, God kept talking to Paul I believe, wanting him not to go to Jerusalem, he had this idea that he wanted his people, the Jews, saved, but God really was calling him to the Gentiles, but his personality, say personality, was getting in the way. And sometimes our personality can get in the way of God. And what we call the Spirit of God is not God, it's us. In verse 22, Acts 20, 22, and see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Watch this. The Spirit testified. But none of these things move me, nor do I count myself dear to myself so that I may finish my race. Now, God is dealing with it. But he said, I'm set on doing this. I want you to see this kind of personality. Look at the 21st chapter, verse 4. It says, in finding disciples, we stayed there 7 days. They told Paul through the Spirit not to go up to Jerusalem. Verse 10, as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those in that place pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord's sake. Now notice, all I wanted you to see is he had a personality that was impacting his decision-making. Does that make sense? So, well, let me say this. When Pete and I was dating, she came home from college one time, came to my house. And she said she was so shocked because, you know, I dressed pretty good on campus, so she thought I was well off. So when she, you know, doing pretty good. When she came on, she said, Lord, that house wasn't even underpinned. It was a house just sitting up on bricks, okay? Imagine our house and you got these brick pillars holding the house up, okay? If you can, in your own imagination, think of the house as being our leadership behavior, our leadership style, our decision making. Up under the pillars is our personality. So oftentimes our personality is dictating our leadership style. And what I wanted you to see from the Apostle Paul is that it was before he got saved, which meant that was something that was a part of his DNA, his genetic makeup. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. You got that. That's all I want you to do. You got that? Okay. Now, turn back to the 9th chapter, and let's look at Barnabas. Because Barnabas' personality was totally different. Paul's personality was achievement-oriented, goal-oriented, task-oriented, assignment, aggressive personality, at all costs, die for it. Barnabas was more relational. He was more of a person, people kind of person, relating and all that kind of stuff. So in the 9th chapter, Paul was trying to, after he got saved, to join the disciples at Jerusalem, but they didn't want to have anything to do with him. So look at what it says in verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to them, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going. So it was Barnabas now that was connecting people. Notice he smoothed that thing out. So he was more of a relational mindset. Does that make a relational personality? Okay. Now, the 11th chapter, a great revival broke out after Paul was, you know, doing everything. Folk were going everywhere, so a great revival broke out. And notice what it says in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out who? Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all. He was glad, now notice, encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. And Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and he went and brought Saul and connected him with the church of Antioch. So now notice, Barnabas' personality was people-oriented. Does that make sense to you? He connected people. He was into this people thing. That was a part of his personality. It wasn't just spiritual. That was a part of the way he was made up. Okay. Now, in Acts chapter 13, kind of interesting, look at the 13th chapter. Verse 1, now in the church that was in Antioch, there was a certain prophet named and teacher Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Cyrene, Manian, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have. So God put Barnabas and Saul together. Now, why? Because we need balance. See, in some regards, we have to make adjustments when the situation dictates. But ultimately, our predisposition is to be who we are. So God wants us to be connected with people who balance us out, bring something to the table that we don't have. When you don't understand that, that can cause a lot of problems. Does that make sense to you? Yes, now look over at Acts chapter 15, and let's look at this blow up they had. Because they blew up, tore up the thing. it just blew up this thing. And I don't care how folk want to fix this and say God did this and God worked out good and brought two teams. No, we'll never know till we get to heaven how much was lost. Because people allowed their personality to override God. And so a lot of this conflict and butting heads and running to each other and stuff like that is because it's not spirit-led, it's personality-driven. Now, Acts chapter 15, verse 36, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. Now remember, Mark had abandoned them in the first missionary journey. But Paul did what? Insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. What we have here, a part of what we have here, is a clash of personalities. Paul is more that achievement, assignment, task, get the job done at all costs. If you can't handle it, we'll find somebody else. Because we're going to get this done. We're going to get it done with you or without you. Okay. Barnabas' personality was more people related. Barnabas like this, listen, yeah, he messed up, but we can work this out. Everybody make a mistake. People need a second chance. Let's give them another chance. So what we have is a clash of personality. Does that make sense to anybody? Holy Ghost nowhere involved in this. This ain't Holy Spirit, this personality. Right? Now watch this. In verse 39, the contention became so sharp that they departed one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. I mean, think about it. What did God say in Acts chapter 13? Separate me, Barnabas, and for the work whereunto. Now watch this. Nowhere do we see God changing his mind. Nowhere we see God changing his mind. Now, rather than you thinking Barnabas was the good guy and Paul was the bad guy, let's not think like that. Let's not think like that. Let's think both of them were the good guys. But they refused to adjust their personality to fit the situation. So let's make Paul the good guy first. This aggressive type mentality type, it's great sometimes, but we have to adjust based on situations. We need people who are aggressive, they're passionate about what they do, but there are times we need to adjust, right? Let's make Barnabas the bad guy now. It's all right to be mushy, people. I love people, you love people, everybody love people. People. We love people. But there are times to make decisions that are difficult that relate to people. There are times to terminate people. There are times to fire people. There are times to suspend people. And if you lean on that side, you end up hindering the whole because you're trying to save everybody. Does that make sense? So there are times when that person who has that personality bent that is more mercy people-based have to choose some behaviors that go against their bent. That's the point that I'm making, is that we have a natural bent, but there are situations where we have to choose behaviors that go against our bent. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, that being said, let's look at this chart. I hope that one of the things you got out of the biblical illustration is that a lot of the conflict mismanagement is not related to the Spirit of God giving different assignments. That whole issue with Barnabas and Saul could have been compromised. Let me show you how it could have been compromised. It could have been compromised by both of them getting together and saying, okay, what was the assignment? The reason they failed is because they majored on minors. Okay, what did God tell us to do? Well, God said, I've separated you all for the work word to our call. So we're a team. God said we're a team. God ain't said nothing else. Well, we're going to stay together. Right?
Yeah.
Well, Paul got to say, okay, let's take him. Right? But then Paul can say, I want to take Silas too, in case he flake out on us again. But me and you going to stay together. Because God told us that. So it could have been a compromise. When you look at this, it talks about, on the left side, your personality and its spectrum of adaptability. If you look on the left side, you see where it says more trainable, less trainable. See that? You look on the right side, it says more conscious, less conscious. And then if you look in the middle, it talks about from knowledge down to traits and predisposition. So what it's literally saying is that our knowledge and skills are more trainable. More trainable. That's why you should always be encouraged in our leadership thing, because I'm not expecting you to know everything, but I'm expecting you to want to know. See, a part of what my assignment is to help you to learn to think. Leaders are thinkers. And great leaders are great thinkers. And so a part of what we're trying to do is get you to a place where you're thinking through and you become a better thinker. And see, all this can, you can learn that, you can grow this, you can read books, you can sit in stuff, seminars like that. You can always grow your knowledge and your skill. You can grow that. Wherever you are right now, you may feel like, I don't understand nothing he's saying. Well, you just keep here. Say, keep coming. That can develop. And you're more conscious of your knowledge and skills. Does that make sense to you? See, you're more conscious of that. Now, when you get down, let's skip down to traits and predispositions. Basically, what it's saying that traits and predispositions is a part of your genetic code. It's really your natural preferred way of thinking and doing. And so when we get to the next lesson, we'll talk about the extrovert, the introvert. So for the most part, it's saying it's less trainable. There are things about you that's really you. What did you say about me the other day? You said something about me the other day. We were talking, and you said,
he's extremely detailed.
He said, I'm extremely detailed.
He can pick up on a mistake very quickly because of the trained eye.
I can pick up on stuff.
And little things that really would mean a lot to other people mean a whole lot to him.
Mean a whole lot to me. For example, she gave me my handout, and the first time it went, was the punch on the holes?
It was not hole punch.
One hole punch. I noticed it's not. Now, this is beautiful. Look how beautiful it is. You know what I noticed? It wasn't hole punch. And then she finally went and regrouped and gave it back to me. And then I looked down and I noticed the agenda one punch. The agenda. So now I got to stick my paper in something else, but I want to put it on top of this. Now that, see, stuff like that drives folks. So what we have to do is we have to understand we got that little stuff. So this lesson really blessed me. It really blessed me because I can understand how, because see, Sherry needed sometimes. She just said, okay. But you got stuff too, so you laughing at me. But you got stuff too. So for the most part, it's saying that stuff that's a part of your genetic code, it's just kind of the way you are. But you need to be aware of it. And as a skilled leader, you learn to make the adjustment, because she was heading out the door and I was looking at that, and she said, I'll punch. I said, nah, that's all right. That's all right. And she walked. That's all right. You ain't got to do it. Because it didn't, after you think about it a lot of times, it really didn't make that, it really didn't make no difference whether my agenda, it really didn't make no difference, did it? Okay. Well, the point that I'm making, I'm exposing myself, but we do stuff like that, and folks follow with us, and we don't have a clue. Like I'm in Miriam's office one day, and I'm lining up her stuff on her desk. I mean, I was standing talking to her, and she said, what are you doing? I didn't even pay attention to it. And I looked down, I'm lining up the pens, and I was just lining it, huh? I was just lining it up. Well, I do my own desk like that. Sometimes I sit there, and the pencil, I just line it up a certain way. But the point that I'm making, you just like that too. In some way, you're like that. And that's the kind of stuff that be throwing our leadership off, because we're not aware of it. But the people following us is very much aware of it. Does that make sense to you? So when it comes to those areas, if you look on the right side, we're less conscious of it. Now, what can we get out of that? That's why we need to have feedback. Every leader needs to build some feedback in who in your area. Get information from the people. Get information about you from the people so you'll know how people perceive you, because we are less conscious of it. Does that make sense? If you look in the middle, though, is behaviors, values, and motivators. Behaviors at the top, which simply means that we can choose certain behaviors to overcome some of our little quirks. We can on purpose choose some behaviors, so when we get into this thing and we start looking at these personality traits, you can choose some behaviors to mitigate your natural bents. Because there are going to be times when you've got to choose some behaviors that are unnatural for you. See, if you're naturally talkative and you got to talk all the time and you're a leader and that's your, I mean, you were like that when you were a little kid. You talked all the time in class. Well, see, now you're talking all the time. So you're not listening to the people under you because you're talking all the time. Does that make sense to you? So now you got to start choosing some behaviors that to mitigate the fact that your natural bent is to talk. It may be the other way around. You're naturally quiet. But you can't be quiet and not be talking to the people that's under you. So now you got to choose some behaviors. Does that make sense to you? Now, values is simply your inner rule book. Like, I value excellence, I value detail, I value certain things, you have certain values. And then motivators, what motivators is what motivates me as a person. And you as a leader, understanding what motivates the people that follow you. Give you three basic motivations. Some people have an achievement motivation. Some people have an affiliation motivation, and some people have a control motivation. And you know when that all took place when you were a kid? Let's back up. Remember, some kids were like this. When they were little kids, they would play construction blocks and stuff like that. Put puzzles together, and they need nobody else around them. But they were set on completing that block and didn't have to have nobody around them. Now, my son has a high achievement need. But it goes all the way back before he got saved, all with high school. We would go to bed at night, look under the light in his room, and he up. Many times we go to bed, he up studying. It's just a part, but that's as a kid. Some kids, they like to be around people. You put them in a little sandbox and they play with all of the kids. I mean, they get really pumped when they're around other kids. And that's the way some people are right now. They have a need for affiliation. They work real good on teams. And then you remember the little kid who always wanted to tell everybody what to do? Like, this is my game, and we're going to play it this way, and you got this role, and you going to do this, or we just ain't going to play. That's a need for control. Some people have that, and even as an adult, we have to find out what motivates people and help them to get in there. Some people work better alone. Some people work better in groups. And it's not bad if you feel like you got a little control need, because you need some people to facilitate things, to head teams, and they're good at that. They've been doing it all their life, been telling folks what to do all their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm through with that. I'm through with that. Did you get at least one thing?
Yes, sir.
Remember, it's just one thing.
Yes,
Okay. Now, because we had the break, didn't we? Okay, we had the break. Okay. Now, let's look at personality traits. You see it? How many of you took the assessment? Was it interesting? It's good to know something about you, self-assessment, and then become a student of the people. It is general, I'm on the personality traits. It's generally accepted that your personality is made up of the big five traits. There is no judgment attached to each trait. Neither is deemed to be good or bad. They're just more or less appropriate for different roles and situations. No single trait is right or wrong for being an effective leader. The key insights for leaders to know your personality trait and maintain a conscious awareness of them as you act and make decisions as a leader. Personality traits that enhance leadership effectiveness in one situation may actually impair it in another. It is relatively uncommon for people to be at either extreme on these scales. They are more likely to be at some point along them. So the scale is extroverted, introverted, agreeable, disagreeable, conscientious, carefree, open, closed, emotionally controlled, neuroticism, or emotionally free. You don't want to tell me what you are, do you? Any extroverted people? Any introverted? Any agreeable? You don't want to tell me that. Any disagreeable? Any conscientious? Any carefree? Okay, any open? Any closed? Any emotional control? Emotionally free? Good. Now, let's just briefly go through this, and then I think we're going to have some time to have some activities and maybe Q&A. Okay. Understanding the big five personality traits, extroverted, introverted. This scale describes the level to which people rely on the external world to gain their energy. At one extreme is the extrovert, describes a preference for externalizing thoughts. These are talkative people. Tend to gain energy by being with others. Talkative, expresses thoughts and feelings. They relax and unwind by being with others and tend toward activities that involve being with and interacting with others. We generally prefer to have a wider circle of friends. At the other end of the scale, it's introverted. And so there's some pros and cons to that, isn't it? Being an extrovert, isn't it? Let me give you one. Let's say you're working on something that's highly confidential and is sensitive in nature, and you leading the project, but you like to express yourself. You can end up talking about something that you shouldn't be talking about because you just got this need to express yourself. The introvert will tend to gain their energy from within themselves, are commonly characterized as more comfortable with ideas than people. Think first, talk later. They stop and reflect before responding and consider others carefully. Let their finger do the talking. They usually prefer writing to talking, prefer internalizing their thoughts, and they embrace solitude and prefer to relax by being on their own and will tend toward activities and work and pleasure that involves few or no other people. That can be a problem too. And I had a couple of people on the staff in meetings not saying anything, and I went to them and I said, now you're going to have to talk in these meetings. You're just going to have to talk in these meetings. If you introverted, it's going to be difficult for you to lead if you don't make some decisions about behavior, because the group need to have direction. Here's the way I think about these introverted people, and this may help you. If you don't let people know who you are, they're filling the gap for you. And you don't want folk filling in the gap for you. Agreeable and disagreeable. This person will be cooperative, sympathetic, and kind toward others, agreeable. Highly agreeable individuals are likely to be affectionate, interested in other people, and will generally want to strive to maintain relationships. On the other hand, the disagreeable, and some people just have that as a part of their nature, which they got to make some decisions, some choices concerning behavior, will have little or no interest in others, are unlikely to have any particular feelings or concern about maintaining relationships, and therefore tend to have no worries about raising issues that may upset relationships. And that can be a problem. But on the other hand, you don't want a bunch of just yes folk who don't ever help you to see the other side. Everything you say, they say yes. Everything you say, yes. Now, you want some folk can say, yeah, but, yeah, you need some folk who can be transparent about that situation, so that works both ways. Conscientious versus carefree. Conscientious people will be highly self-disciplined, will plan carefully, set in place mechanisms to ensure completion of tasks and see things through to the end, will tend to manners of detail, ensuring everything is accurate. I think I kind of fall in that framework. Carefree end of this scale describes people who have no interest in getting things done. They just enjoy the journey. And there are people who really just kind of enjoy it. They just kind of enjoy the journey. Who will have little, no interest in detail or accuracy, and who will, when it comes to their approach to life, to completing tasks, tend to dislack organization. They will not plan, but instead be spontaneous, preferring to live for the moment. Now, I think it's good to have some people that are spontaneous. They tend to be a little creative. People like that tend to be a creative. I mean, you know, it's good to have structure, but it's also good to have creativity and people who can flow out of the moment. So it's some positives and negatives. And see, sometimes people that are conscientious can be so structured that they don't move outside of those structures. And then there's the open and close. Those with an open personality would be highly inquisitive, open to new ideas, prefer thinking in conceptual terms, big picture thinkers, will be appreciative of the arts and of beauty, will enjoy and seek opportunities for variety and change. Closed individuals are generally traditional, logical in their thinking, will prefer routine and things that are straightforward and unambiguous. When considering change, they will tend to adapt existing ways, preferring incremental rather than radical changes. And I think I was talking to Melinda about this one. I think if you had known me 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I think I would be more closed. Yeah. I think I've chosen behaviors to become open. See, you can choose some behaviors to become open. There are things that I'm listening to I never would have listened to. I never would even talk about, like we're talking about, that everybody have to speak in tongues to do anything in the church. Well, at the time, I would say, yeah, everybody got to talk in tongues. You don't talk in tongues. You know, very close to that. But you know, you got folk talking in tongues, they ain't doing right. Ain't doing right. I mean, you know, they're talking tongues. And then you have a rule sometimes, and so I'm all open. You know, if people teaching, if people altar workers, they need to be, you know, but do people have talking tongues to whatever? So that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to open my mind to rather than just being closed to it. Does it make sense? Choose behaviors sometimes that go against what you would naturally, your natural bents or preferences or whatever. If you're closed-minded, though, you're probably struggling hugely with our church right now. I mean, you're struggling big time. I mean, you just having a fit. emotionally, because our church is in transition. We're making a lot of changes, making adjustments, and doing it on purpose. Mike is moving us. He's leading some things. I'm letting him lead some things. We just going. I'm just open. I just want what God wants. I want to be a right now church. I don't want to be a yesterday church. And to be a right now church, you have to just be open to new things. So if you close and you're thinking about how we were 10 years ago and you're back in Campus A,
that's right.
I told another day, most of our people are not here yet. Most of the people that we're going to reach hadn't even showed up. What we did at Campus A won't work now. People have changed. Times have changed. It won't work. It was wonderful. It worked. But it won't work now. And that's why you have to sometimes not get an altar call at the end. You have to get it. You have to give it. Get it when you can get it. Hey, when you can get it, get it. Because everybody ain't just sitting there waiting on that, you know, at the end. I'm changing a lot of things about me. So you just got to be open to that, because we just got to go. You know, if Jesus was here today, he wouldn't be talking about sheep and crops and goats and shepherds. He just wouldn't be talking about it. He'd be talking about iPods and iPads. And Spirit of God spoke to me not too long ago and said this to me, go cyber. Well, I was close to some things. Well, once he said go cyber, I mean, whatever it takes to go cyber, we go in cyber. So you have to be open. And then there's the emotionally controlled, emotional, negative in their thinking, anxious, highly active to stressful situations. And then the other side of it is generally relaxed, comfortable with who they are, stable in teams of their moods, and not easily stressed by different situations. I could go through all this other stuff, conclusions, but I'm not, because I think I said what I wanted to say. And what I wanted to say was that we have a natural bent towards certain things, but given certain situations, we have to choose behaviors that are contrary to our preferred way of thinking and acting. Does that make sense? I think that's the bottom line on it. And the bottom line on this is understanding who you are. Once you understand who you are, then work hard to try to understand the people under you, and work hard to try to understand the people that you're teaming with. Because you're teaming with other leaders, and they don't always think like you think. And if you try to put everybody in your box, you're just going to have conflict. Does that make sense to anybody? Got at least one thing? Yes, I'm finished.